good?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right. I want to start off with complete honesty. God's given me two words to share. I don't know how they go together. I have talked to a few people. I'm like, this is what I've got and this is what I've got. They're not going together. And I've swapped everything around and it just doesn't work. I think the reason is because some of you need to hear the first bit, some of you just need the second bit, and some of you might actually hear them both and go, oh, this is how they connect for me. The other thing is, this is a personal test of faith for me. God's like, are you, like, do you truly believe what you're about to tell everybody? Which I do, just FYI. Yeah, and I'll explain why I 100% believe what I'm telling you now. So, I'm going to start with a Bible verse, please, Richard, sir. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Because I'm going to talk to you about God's perfect timing. Richard, can you please go to the next slide? Who in this room wants something? It could be... Yeah, good, okay, cool. it could be getting an A or a high mark in something educational based. It could be you want to buy a house. It could be you want to settle down and start having your own family. Could be waiting for your kids to leave so they can go do that. But I'm going to give you my example. My example is I want to go camping. Thank you. Now I have my license, as most of you know, so I should just be able to leave and I can go camping. That's all cool. But I've got a few problems about that. First one is I have nothing to go camping with. That makes it a bit hard. I also need permission from Mum. The people that I want to go with, they need to be available. I need to have the time off of work. I need to have the money to pay for everything to be able to go camping. And it doesn't seem to matter how hard I push or how many times I try to organise all these things or how many times I save my money up, it's not happening. Does anybody else feel like this with what they want? Now, I want you to hold that thought for me and we're going to go and give you another example. Let's say that you're in the shops and because you have rushed to the shops because you need to get one important ingredient for an event that you're about to go to. You thought you had it in the fridge and now that you've got to go to the shops, you feel like you're going to be late and it's quite stressful. And you know those like number things that you have like at the deli? Well, this is what you've got to wait for. And there are all these people in front of you when usually the shops are just empty, you can go in and go out. But the thing is, you're standing there and you're making these frustrated noises like, oh, why can't I just, you know, like, go, I need one thing and everybody else is going to take forever. And you keep checking your watch or you keep checking your phone like, oh, I'm going to be late, I'm going to be late. But have you ever stopped to think, why am I waiting? Apart from the obvious fact that there are people in front of you and you have to wait for them. But has God stopped you for a reason? Maybe he's stopping you because actually you just need to take a chill pill and relax before you can go because you don't want to ruin your day. Maybe it's because he's perfectly timed, somebody else is going to walk in, could be a stranger, could be somebody you know, and you're going to make their day or they're going to make your day. Maybe he's preventing you from a bigger thing. Maybe there's a potential car accident that could have happened had you just walked in and walked out of the shops. So going back to the previous thought about me going camping, maybe I'm being told to wait because the time isn't right. Maybe it's because God's waiting until he knows that I need a break before I can go. Now, I want to give you the real life reason that God told me to wait. So I was asked this weekend to go camping with the people that I want to go with. And unfortunately, this weekend I've had a massive load of work. Yesterday was 9 hours, today was 5. So I'm like, there's no way I can go. The reason that God told me no this weekend is because the people I was going with decided to go to a caravan park instead. So I wouldn't have enjoyed going camping as much as I would have liked to. And so that was the first thing. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is what you are wanting. So I've obviously asked you guys, is there something that you want? And most of you nodded or put your hands up if you were in the back row. However, it's not actually what you want right now that I want you to think about. It's something that you once wanted, but you never ended up getting. This always happens for a reason, and it's always because God gives you something better instead. And better can mean different to what we expect, but usually it has a better outcome. So as humans, Richard, can you please go to the first one? As humans, we can only see this little thing that we're imagining, which is us in the middle. And sometimes we can go, God, this is what I would really love, and you can pray for it. And he goes, yeah, cool. I want you to have that, but I also want you to have all of this as well. But then there are other times where God says, actually, no, I don't want you to have that, because I want you to have this instead, because it's better. In Proverbs 16:9, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And the way that I read this verse was, just like a child can scribble with pencil all over a page. Thank you. Just like in the one on the left-hand side, God will use what you scribble with, and he will finish the design with how he wants it. So what is God making you wait for today?
Hold the thought of what you're hoping for in your mind. I think what Lucy has shared today is a very timely reminder for many of us about where our focus is and how big we're allowing God to be in our thinking process. Because like Lucy said, we can have almost that tunnel vision of, this is what my heart is set on. But there's a bigger picture. So, I'm going to build a little bit on what Lucy has shared today. No, you can skip that one. All right. We've got some people that we can learn from, because in God's perfect timing, most of the time, we need to wait. And waiting is hard. Right from waiting in a line that takes a couple of minutes, to waiting at a stoplight that, did you know, most of the time is no more than 20 to 30 seconds? And yet we get impatient, don't we? Waiting is hard. And they're just the by-the-by things. They're not even the big things of life. So, I've listed these four. These are the four that I'm going to talk about today. Esther, Daniel, Paul, and some of what the authors of the Psalms have put together for us. I'm not going to read many specific verses from there, rather I'm going to give you little overviews. So if you want to know more about any of these characters, if you don't know them very well, I've put this slide, if you've got the app, you can refer to the slides in the app. I will endeavour to get them on the app tonight so that you can go back and have a look where you'll find them. So, for those of you who don't know Esther, she lived in the time of King Ahasuerus, also known as King Xerxes I for most people, although there's some contention about whether that's the same person. And this king, King A, I'm going to call him, he had a queen and her name was Vashti. And at this big feast that they held, the king says, come, my wife. And she said, nah, "Not interested, buddy." And he said, "Fine then, you're not the queen." Kicked her out the door and went on the hunt for a new queen. Now comes a waiting time. He sends out an edict, "Find me all the eligible virgins, gather them up and prepare them to come into my presence." The preparation time was 12 months. Perfumes, baths, special diets, living in a special harem just for them. 12 months they were prepared. And they come across the queen, the king's sight, and he says, "Ooh, I like this one." And her name was Esther. Esther was an orphan. Her mum and dad were killed. Her cousin, Mordecai, was old enough to become her stepdad. He took her in as his own and raised her. They were both Israelites. Now, she gets chosen to be queen 4 years later. This incident occurs for her uncle, for her cousin, Mordecai, who was a person who, the Bible describes him as he was at the gate of the palace. So it was his position. He was always at the gate of the palace, whatever his role was. I haven't quite worked that out myself. But over those 4 years, so Esther is now the queen. We're not really told why, but she has found favour with both the Lord and the king. The king has elevated to his right hand this guy called Haman. Haman worshipped himself. And he says, "I want everybody to bow to me." He exits out the palace and everybody's kowtowing to him. But not Mordecai. "No thanks. I bow to God alone." And Haman gets offended. So he has it out for Mordecai. In order to have his revenge, he manages to convince the king to get an edict put out that the Jews can be killed willy-nilly. Long and the short of it. This is sent out. Mordecai finds out. He's wearing sackcloth and ashes. He's grieving. He comes to Esther and explains what's going on and says, "You need to go before the king. You're the queen. You have favour with him." And she says, "I don't think so. If I go into the king's presence without an invitation, and I haven't had an invitation for a month, if I go into his presence and he doesn't extend his golden sceptre, I'm a dead gal. He will kill me. That's law." So, I'm just going to gather my little bits here. All right. She says, "I'm not going to do that until we have spent some more time waiting. What are we waiting for? I want to hear from God. We're going to pray and we're going to fast." She sends Mordecai off to get all the Jews in the area. "You guys go and pray and fast 3 days. You have nothing to eat and nothing to drink for 3 days. And you pray. And I'm going to go and do the same with my ladies in the harem. We're going to do the same thing. And in 3 days' time, if I have favour with the Lord, I'll go." And she does. She has favour. And all gets resolved. But that's a lot of waiting. 3 days of prayer and fasting, waiting on the Lord to know that you can go and resolve a massive national crisis. This is the nation of Israel at stake. That's a lot of waiting. I'm going to move on to Daniel. Daniel lived in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. And this King Nebuchadnezzar overthrew the king of Judah. So he's moved in, he's taking over the land. Now, in order, he used a bit of wisdom here. He says, I want a bunch of people brought into my palace to learn the ways of my kingdom. And I'm going to read for you Daniel chapter 1, a couple of verses. The king commanded his chief eunuch to bring some of the people of Israel, both royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a portion of the food that the king ate and the wine that he drank, and they were to be educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Daniel was one of those chosen. He was a very wise man. He was a very godly man. He got to learn all the ways of this new king, of this new empire, and he found favour with the king. But he held to his faith. So in the midst of his country being overthrown, he's no longer under the rule of the king that God had placed there, an Israelite, but he's under some other nation now. So there's turmoil going on. He's been ripped away from his family. You're placed in the palace, learning all this new stuff, and being given food that doesn't match with his belief. He says, look, I'm not eating that. I would rather eat only this. He found favour, and the king said, that's fine. He later interpreted the king's dreams, and he gained promotion. In the middle of all of this, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure you've all heard of those famous three guys who walked in the flames with a fourth man. Flames so hot that you couldn't go here to the wall away because they were burning people. So, king's changed. He's now under King Darius. He found favour once again because of his faith. He stood firm, even though he's waiting for change. Like, Lord, when are you going to come? When are you going to change this scenario? But he was faithful. The others that he was working with were a little bit jealous. And so they tricked the king. Sounds familiar to Haman in our first story. They tricked the king to write an edict that no petition could be offered to any other god except to King Darius. But they heard Daniel praying in his by his window. And they said, you're calling on your god. You just broke the edict. And what was the punishment? But to be thrown into the lion's den. Now, I want you to close your eyes for a minute and imagine this scene. A lion's den. We quite often think of this huge pit, the big open air pit. It's not. It was quite a closed, like a small opening to this den, because the king had it sealed with a rock. Okay? So imagine he's being thrown into a den of these lions that the kingdom have captured, put into this den, and they've starved them. They are ravenous lions. Daniel gets lowered down in through this hole, and the king says, may your God save you. And he covers it up with a great big old rock. Now Daniel is in that den in the pitch black with roaring lions. And he's got to wait. The Lord sends an angel. We know this Because in the morning, the king comes out to check. At the break of day, the king went out. The king was so disturbed. This is his most favoured servant, and he has had to hold to the edict that he put because he can't undo it. It's law. He can't undo it. His favoured servant is in the pit with hungry lions, sure to have every scrap of him eaten. He cannot sleep, but he knows Daniel's God is powerful. He says, sleep evaded him all night. He went out and says, Daniel, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel says, O king, live forever. So immediately he's blessing the one who's had him thrown in the pit. My God sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths. They have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. So one angel was sent and shut the mouths of these ravenous lions. Now, again, I've thought about this time and time again, and I think of playful pussycat lions and an angel sitting there, you know, cuddling these lions, there, and keeping them quiet. Actually, I don't think that's what it would have been. I actually think Daniel still had to contend. I actually think these lions, they were hungry. They only had their mouths closed. Their roaring and grunting and groaning for food may not have stopped. They could smell Daniel. Animals are good at that. They would have known where he was in that pit, and he was blind in the darkness. Although it doesn't tell us whether God perhaps provided a light through the angel. I don't know. But can you imagine waiting 8 to 12 hours in a pit like that, waiting for the stone to be rolled away so that you can get out? That's a harsh, long night to remain faithful to your God in the midst of it. Another example of Paul. So this is found in 2 Timothy, verse 4 of chapter 1. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. This is a different kind of waiting. This is a guy who's actually, he's waiting on death row. Paul is at the end of his life and he's waiting to be killed. He's in jail, and not a very pleasant jail. Shackled hands, feet, potentially. Probably smelly and dank. Not a very nice prison. But he's praising God and he's saying, guys, man, I love you. You are faithful followers of our beautiful Jesus Christ, and I just want to come and visit you. That was his longing. That was his heart's desire. How many of you have had a family member that you just go, I really long to see you? But he had to wait. I anticipate he probably had to wait until everybody got called up to heaven, because he didn't get out of jail after this. So what are the themes here with Esther and Daniel and Paul? Waiting, prayer, and faithfulness. It's really easy for us to wait and actually do nothing. To just go, this is what I want, and okay, Lord, I've let you know. And not actively participate in moving towards it. It's easy for us to wait and slander. Sometimes we can be waiting for something and we can, this is happening, and that, this is, and complain. sometimes it's easy for us to wait and then go, you know what, God? Yeah, I'm just going to do it this way. Take matters into our own hands. Perhaps, like Abram, end up having a child who creates a whole other nation through Ishmael. Doing it your own way can be harmful. So, here are some things for us to do while we work through the waiting. How do you know what God's asking you to do while you wait for the thing you're waiting for? Lucy's waiting to go camping. She's still waiting.
11 years later.
11 years. Well, the first thing you need to do is get into his presence. You need to worship. The first thing we do is get our eyes on him. Oh, Lord, you are beautiful. Your majesty is not comparable to anybody else. I bring glory to you, Lord. I ascribe it to you. Let me tell you how good you are, Lord, because despite the circumstance that I am in, I am going to praise you. Lift my eyes to you first. And then, so I've put some psalms up here with as examples. Again, I'm not actually going to refer to them, but I've put some psalms up here because I want to demonstrate to you that this is the points that I've got here have come directly from the psalms. The idea of worshipping God first and then telling him what's going on. He wants to hear it from you. Lord, I'm waiting and I'm tired. I don't know if you've heard me. I haven't heard from you yet, but I'm telling you that I'm waiting. I love you, I love you, I love you, but I'm waiting. Lord, don't forget me. Don't forget the thing I've asked for. And then ask him to help you see his hand at work. Father, would you help me plan the next bit? Help me to hear what it is you want me to step into. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. God gave me a vision when I was a young teenager. It was a dream. A dream that was consecutive over 7 nights, and you know it took me 20 years to see the first little bit of that. He called me into teaching, and I thought, yeah, teaching aligns with that vision, because what I saw was a school being built. Yes, I'm going into teaching, and then he shut it down. He said, now I want you to leave teaching, I'm taking you elsewhere, and he took me into admin. Not my favourite place, let me tell you. He took me there. I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. But here I am, what do I need to learn? And he taught me, and he taught me, and he taught me, and he showed me things, and he had my boss tell me things. 5 years I was there, and he says, okay, quit that job. You're going back to teaching. What? Why? So I've come back to teaching. And then he says, no, 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 the purpose is not for teaching. You're planting a church. Now, in the midst of all these little threads, God took me overseas to the very place that my vision had taken place. So I saw a piece of land and a tree. And in the vision over the series of nights, this building was being built. And children came in and it was a school. Now, I went to Uganda and I saw the very piece of land that was in that dream. I saw the tree. And today, a school stands on that place and there are about 100 students there in a rural, remote place. And he called me out of it. It's not my job. He says, but I needed you just to prompt it. Great. 20 years of waiting. Oh, Lord, I don't get it. I don't see your hand. Can you help me see the next bit? He says, I want you to go to admin. What? It doesn't make sense, but okay, I'll go to there. He taught me all the things I needed to run and manage a not-for-profit organization. Lord, show me your timing. Lord, would you be gracious to me in this space, because I'm really struggling emotionally with not seeing my dream come to pass. Lord, would you bring justice in this place, because the enemy is attacking me from all sides and I don't know what to do. I need your justice because I want to take matters into my own hands. Help me to see your hand. And then you declare and you wait on the Lord. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You'll notice that with all of these stories, with Lucy's, with mine, with your own, I know you've got them, that it doesn't matter what our circumstances are, it doesn't actually change who God is in the middle of all of it. He is unchanging. His character is unchanging. His love for you is unchanging. These circumstances that we've looked at today are quite extreme, but I know every single person has extreme circumstances for their own life. No story can be compared to another because each of you have your own extreme stuff. But God is good and God is faithful. And so I encourage you that in the middle of your waiting, whether it's for seeing an A on your report card, whether it's for seeing a shift in your house or maybe a new car, or whether it's to go camping, that you don't manipulate to get what you want, that you don't quit and you don't walk away, but that you do wait for God to show you what to do. I have asked a couple of people to read to us. I'm actually going to ask the three of you to come up to use the microphone. Psalm 27. I would encourage you to read this to yourselves this week. If you have got something burning in your heart that you're waiting for, I encourage you to read this. I'm going to get these guys to read it to us. So I encourage you to close your eyes and pray this along with them reading.
Yep, good. Alrighty. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not. O God of my salvation, For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.